This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 reads this way. It says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning. We do thank you, Lord, again for the privilege of gathering together as your people, Lord, in your house. And then, Lord, being reminded that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. Lord, we need you every day. We especially need you today as we worship you, that you might open up our hearts and minds to hear from you, that you would fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, that we would just not hear your words, but understand them and be empowered to walk in them. Lord, may we look to you for every need that we have concerning our relationship to you, to others, Lord, and to this world that needs to know you as Savior. Bless your word, build your people, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The title of the message this morning is, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." For the love of Christ constraineth us. Now, a lot of times you can think of this word maybe on a negative note. The one thing to know about the New Testament language is written in the Greek language is that it's what we would call an exact language, not like the English language. For example, if you had a foreigner that didn't know very good English or a lot of English, and you pointed to them as they got off the plane or as you were picking them up, and then maybe there was a pond there and there was a duck floating on the pond, you would say, "Oh, look, duck." Right? And then you take them out to a baseball game, and if a baseball was flying at their head and you were to say, "Duck," what are they going to think? They're going to be looking for, they're going to get broadsided, aren't they? Because the English language is not an exact language like the Greek language is, where you have one word for the word duck, the animal, and another word for the word duck, your head. Amen? So that you don't get injured, you don't get hurt. Well, this word constraineth here is the word soneko, which means to hold together. Amen? The love of Christ holds us together. If the love of Christ is not constraining or holding us together, forget about it. You may be a saved child of God, but you're not going to be held together by the word of God, by the work of God, or by the power of God. And how does that all work? Well, we'll see that here in just a moment. What does that do for the life of a believer? Does it change them? Let me try that again. Does the love of God that constrains the believer, does it change the individual? What I once was, I am no more. By the grace of God, I've now become something I never would have been able to be without the grace of God. And that is a child of the King and a royal priesthood who honors who? God. Not the world, not myself, and definitely not the devil, but I'm honoring the Lord. I'm wanting to grow and experience the grace of God in my own personal life. That's the way that we can walk upright, because we are witnessing God's work in our life on a daily basis. But wait a minute, the world will also witness the same grace of God in our lives. It's changing us. It's not something that I hope people don't really know how I really am outside of church. No, that's not the way God intended it. God knows our depraved nature and empowers us to be changed unto his likeness, right? Who does the changing work? The Lord does that. That's so important to understand that. So again, this morning we want to consider three truths that will depict a true living relationship with God. And why is this important? Because a lot of people make a profession to know the Lord as their Savior, but many are not born-again believers. There are a lot of people that say, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian." Well, what does that mean? I go to church, or I got baptized. It's so important. Listen, when somebody tells you, "I'm a Christian," ask them, "What does that mean to you?" Amen? Listen to them. Should that be an insulting question? No, listen, I want to make sure, and we ought to make sure that when people profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they understand what they're talking about. Because if they say, "Oh, well, I go to church every day." Well, where is the born-again experience? And then if they give you an answer
that doesn't really line up or at least convince you that they know the Lord, say, let me ask you this question, Fred. Let me ask you this. If you were to die today, do you know where you would go? Because that's ultimately what really matters. And if they say, I don't know, that's a good indicator. They don't know that. That is an indicator that they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. But wait a minute. They may have been taught to say, oh, I'm going to heaven. Praise God, because I'm a Christian. Well, let me ask you, Fred, what does that mean when you say you're a Christian and you're going to heaven? Well, that means that I read my Bible. That's a good thing to do. That means I go to church. That's a good thing to do. And I try to live the best life that I can, right? And so see, you guys pick up on that, but what we don't realize or often take into account that the majority of the people that profess to be Christians, that's their testimony. So let me ask you this, Fred. If you were to die today, do you have a, not 90% assurance, you have a 100% assurance you have a home in heaven? And then listen to what they say. And if they say, yes, I'm 100% sure, tell me, Fred, how do you have that assurance? What gives you that assurance? What is your basis for that assurance? And listen to what they say. And if they don't say, because Jesus Christ showed me my sin, and I repented and put my faith and trust in what he did for me alone, that gave me eternal life. On what he did for me, not on what I'm doing for him. I will tell you, listen. Jesus said, many will say to me in that day. What day? When they stand before the... There are many thinking on this side of eternity that they're going to heaven, and they're not. Many will say to me in that day, but Lord, Lord, look what we did for you. And what does Jesus say to them? I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work. Listen, many wonderful good things. Ye that work iniquity. God calls it sin. You know why God calls it sin? Because they were dependent upon their righteousness to gain them entrance and not realizing that God was doing no work in their lives. That is a sobering thought. Amen? Question, is that the truth this morning?
Yeah.
Wait, let's try that again. Is that the truth?
Amen.
God's people ought to say, amen, praise the Lord. That's the truth. That's what we stand for. When people are contrary to that truth, there is a big problem. They may be church members of right churches. There is a big problem because they're not saved. And listen, the truth must be proclaimed, because if they're dependent upon anything other than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, they're going to fall short. Brother George, are you going to make people mad saying that? I dare say I probably will. Amen? But I'd rather them be mad at me on this side than to be upset with me on the other side saying, why didn't you ever say it? Why didn't you ever tell me and give me understanding that I might believe the truth?
Amen.
And so biblical Christianity confronts people with the truth in love. Because I don't love people if I hide the truth from them, do I? Listen, let me ask you this. If for some reason you lost your sight momentarily for a little while, and you were walking next to a cliff, and you could take one step, and you know, I saw a little documentary on the Grand Canyon. I've never been to the Grand Canyon. My wife would like to go to the Grand Canyon. She'd like to go. So I took her to the Creation Museum years ago when it first opened up here in Ohio. And they had the Grand Canyon there. I said, quick, Amy, let's take a picture. She said, that's not fair. That doesn't work that way. But anyway, here's what they said. People get so close to the edge, they don't realize that they have slides. The rocks give way. They think, oh, this has been here forever. It's sturdy. And they said half a good portion of it rolls off, and they go with it. Because they ignore the signs and go beyond the areas they're supposed to go because it looks solid and it's not. There's a lot of people think they are standing on solid ground and they're not. And so, listen, we need to be mindful that the truth has to be proclaimed, and we need to share it in the love of God. But if God's not doing a work in your life, there's a problem. Even as a believer, you ought to be able to see. Because, listen, I hope you want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But you're not going to hear it if you're leaning onto your own understanding and saying, "Well, as long as I do this, God will accept me. As long as I stand for this, God will accept me and well done." Listen, whatever you stand on better be in the Word of God.
Amen.
Because if it's not on the Word of God, you're going to be fighting, contending for something that God says, that was of no interest at all to me. In fact, if the truth be known, anything that is outside of the Word of God is not God's interest and can only be ours. And so who's right and who's wrong? God's always right, and if we're contrary to what God said, who's wrong? We're wrong. And so this morning, God's reminding us that He constrains us. The love of Christ, love for God, love for honoring God, and love for honoring God's Word, that's what holds us together.
Amen.
If you have no desire to adhere to the little things in the Word of God, you'll not hold to the big ones. That's what God says. If you're unfaithful in little, you'll be unfaithful in much. And so if we want revival, what does God think about the little things? They're important. And they better be important to us as well, or we're only fooling one person. And that's ourselves. That's it. So we must be willing to allow God to bring us to the end of ourselves that God might be our all. So three thoughts this morning. Ready? A new creature in Christ, reconciled to God, and then the last one, receive not the grace of God in vain. Receive not the grace of God in vain. So the first thought, here we find this new creature in Christ Jesus. Notice this, for the love of God, verse 14, constraineth us because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live, listen to this, should not henceforth live unto who? Themselves. But live unto him which died for them and rose again. Who's that? The Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen? So God wants us to live for him. Notice what he says. Again, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Verse 16. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Now watch this. Tell me who we're talking about here in verse 17. Therefore, if any man, that's mankind and womankind. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Amen.
Is that the truth? God says he's made us brand new. Wait a minute. He says this. He says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So there is a new life to be had in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what happens is the old man, the sinful man, the man of sin in us was crucified on the cross of Christ. But we still do have the natural man, then why do I have these problems? Because we can approach the Word of God in the natural and not in the spiritual. In the temporal and not in the eternal. So God wants us to make sure that when we come to the Lord, we say, "Lord, help me to see, help me to hear." We need His help, don't we?
Yes.
To see what you want me to see and not what somebody else wants me to see or even what I might want to see.
Amen.
All right. So he says this. Verse 18, and all things, by the way, that's a conjunction, the word and. So we're still continuing the thought, talking about those who've been born again. They're a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. The old things are passed away. All things are become new. Verse 18, and, so we're still talking about believers. All things are of who? Who hath reconciled. And by the way, you're going to see that word reconciled several times here in the next couple of verses here, 2-3 verses. Reconciled, that's important. What does the word reconciled mean? Well, the Greek word is kalatalasso, and you don't need to memorize that verse, but here's what you need to know. It means to bring those who were at variance or at enmity into favor by the grace of God. It's His work. Those who were at variance are brought into favor. Who does that work? God does that work. I can't gain favor. I cannot. There's not one thing I can do to gain God's favor ever. ever. The only one that can bring me into favor with himself is God Almighty.
Amen.
And he's told us how that happens. So he says this, verse 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us, the saved, the born again believers, to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry." The us is the born again believers. And he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is to bring those that are at variance with to God into the knowledge of what brings them into favor with God.
Amen.
We've been given the ministry to tell the lost soul that there's nothing in the world you and I can do for eternal life. It's all in the hands of God. You must ask him for it. God has given to you and I the ministry of reconciliation. Did you see that? Am I making that up? Or did he gave that to? We want to say, oh, we're a new creature. We want to say, oh, behold, all things are made new. But wait a minute. What about the ministry of reconciliation that God has given to us that is important in the eyes of God because he's left us with the Holy Spirit to be the witnesses into a lost and dying world?
Amen.
Now, I hope you're familiar with the name Scott Borland. His wife, Missy Borland, spoke at a ladies' weekend here a couple years ago, right? Maybe a couple years ago. And I had the privilege of fellowshipping with him. He talked with the men at our breakfast. And then I got to spend the rest of the day with him, you know, as the ladies were having their conference. And, you know, this is, I think, either the third or the fourth church that the Lord has used him in building. And either two or three of them are debt-free with a full-time pastor, if I'm not mistaken. They have a pastor. I'm pretty sure they're all full-time pastor. And they many souls are saved. Many souls are saved. You look at our website, you look at our report on the back table, you will see them. You will see pictures of baptism nearly every month. Every month.
Amen.
That's impressive.
Amen.
That's it. That's God is using him, wouldn't you say that? Okay, so I had the privilege last week of talking to him on the phone and saying, I had other questions to ask him where they were at. They're looking to break ground now. They're getting things in line. They've got their plans. They're getting ready to build another building. And I think the idea is this church, this is the one that he's probably going to stay at because but you wouldn't know it. He looks younger than me, but I think he's my age. Amen. But here it is. Ready? I said to him, Brother Borland, I got to ask you another question. I said, what would you say that you would attribute to, man, how the Lord is blessing your church? I told him, I see baptisms all the time. And I said, praise God for that. What is it that you would say is doing that? Well, here's what he said. He said, well, we had a carnival. We had a carnival. I didn't go into details. I was listening to him. I didn't ask him, but I had an idea. You know, you invite people to a carnival. And then they had VBS right afterwards because you got all the kids gathered up. And this was about 2 years ago, he said. And we got one family. Praise God. We got one family that trusted Christ, got saved and baptized and added to the church. But he said, that's not the norm. He said, we normally don't see anything out of that. He said, but I'll tell you this. Do you know what's really effective, what has really built the Lord's churches? And I was all ears. Let me hear. I want to know. He said, we go out visiting at least 3 times a month. And I thought, well, I like that. We go out. We try to go out every Thursday night. And he said, weather permitting. He says, in the winters, it's hard to go. And when it's scalding hot, it's hard to go. We moved our visitation on Thursdays now from 11 o'clock to 10. I went out last Thursday, 9:30, because, man, it was hot. Amen? And I was surprised how many people I found home. I mean, every door, I think I had contact. That's not normal for us. Normal, maybe you got one or two that you might run into. All right. So I said, he was talking to me, and he said, here's what's happening. He said, our people, our church members are talking to their relatives about salvation. Our church members, are talking to their coworkers at work about salvation. Our church members are telling neighbors and other people and family members and coworkers, they're bringing them in. I'm preaching the word of God, and God is doing a work. He said, if you want me to give credit, our people are faithful to fulfill the ministry of reconciliation to the Lord in their own personal lives, and they're the ones that are telling people.
Amen.
And bringing them in.
Amen.
Amen? Hey, how about Northwood Baptist Church do that?
Yeah. Amen?
Amen? And see what God will do. Lord, we'll fulfill your great commission and trust you to build your church. Instead of looking to what we can conjure up or come up with, when you've already told us what you would bless. If we plant the seed of the word of God, God will build the church. Amen? We have been given that ministry of reconciliation. All right? So let's take notice of this. What's it mean to be reconciled to God? Verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world. Did you hear this? Listen, God was in Christ reconciling, bringing the world that was at enmity into favor with God, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Do you see that word reconciliation? It's popped up a couple times, hadn't it? That's our commission that God has given to us. And so he says, I want you to know that this is the great, this he's committed it to us.
Amen.
See? So if the love of Christ is constraining us, holding us together, if the love of Christ is really, you know what we're thinking about? What I want for lunch. How am I going to fix that at home? What I want to do tomorrow or next month? Or how about this? God has blessed me to tell others about eternal life in the Lord. How many times do we think about that? Because the love of Christ, if it's constraining us, if it's keeping us together, it's keeping us together where? In Him. Do you know what God cares about more than anything else? The salvation of souls. Now, listen, this does not make the flesh happy, in case you want to know. Oh, no, no. Brother George, you don't understand. I can't talk to people. Really? I don't think one person in this church can say that. I've seen everybody in this church talk to somebody. Last night, I want you to know, it's my first one. I try to put tracts in the people's hands around. I'll leave them at houses. But last night was the first time I filled up. I paid $48. I had a little bit of gas left in my car. I paid $48 to fill up my tank. Bless the Lord. I pulled out a track and I said, I'm putting a track in that pump handle. I paid to do that. Amen? I figured if I can spend $48, they won't mind me slipping in a track that somebody else might pick up and get saved. Amen? Let me tell you about Brother Hugo Malazzi. He was a medical doctor in Mexico playing soccer. And he gave his testimony. He was going for his doctorate degree. He was already a medical doctor. He's the one that goes on these MAC missions. He's been doing it since the 1980s as a medical doctor into foreign fields and doing medical work to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I heard him give his testimony. And he said, I was playing a soccer game. And while I was coming off on the sidelines for whatever reason, somebody gave me a track. And I looked at it and I put it in my pocket and read it later and got saved.
Amen.
So we'll just never know. Now, if we lean to our own understanding, well, people will just throw that away. We were at Walmart getting some supplies yesterday, and a nice elderly lady was saying something, and she was kind of being kind, and I think she kept getting in our way. We were getting in each other's way. Right, and on this one aisle. And so we kind of laughed a little bit and chuckled a little bit. And I said, let me give you something to read that's really important. And it's also an invitation. She was like, all like this, all right? She was all like this, all excited about it. And I said, it's also, this is where it kind of went a little south, it's an invitation to our church. And then her countenance changed a little bit. I don't know what that meant. And then I noticed she had her purse in the little part where you put the little kids in, and she didn't put it in her purse. She put it in the cart. That's okay if she leaves it there. It's okay. Maybe somebody else will find it if she. Now see what my mind just did? I don't know that she's not going to take that. But you know what? Regardless, here's the one thing that's for certain: she won't be able to say nobody cared.
That's right.
She will never be able to say, nobody ever tried to tell me about the Lord. And you know, we parted ways. Listen. When we do that, do we not carry out our part? I have no control. See, let's not start thinking that the way people react is our part. They may become angry with you. They might become a little hostile. Now, I've never heard of anybody getting beat up over handing a tract. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I've never heard of any of that happening. But you know what? I would just leave. They've gotten kind of upset. My wife knocked on a door here in Columbia, and the guy came outside all irate, and she just kind of backed off and walked away. And that was the end of that. But that's the only time that I think that's ever happened, as many times as we've gone out door knocking. So God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Let's do, by the grace of God, what He's called us to do, what He's commissioned us to do, and be busy about doing that and see if God won't bless that. Amen?
Amen.
And watch what He'll do. And by the way, listen, think of creative places where you think people will come and they have time to read. If you go to a doctor's office, I don't think it's against the law to just drop a tract where the magazines are at. Let's do what we can. And people are looking to read something and maybe have the time now while they're waiting for their doctor visit that they'll take notice and read it. So, verse 19 again, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Listen how. As though God did beseech you by us, by the word of God, that He's pleading with you to be faithful to this. We pray you in Christ that be ye reconciled. Again, listen, that word is to bring those that are at variance into favor with God by the word of God. Be ye reconciled unto Christ, unto God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Did you hear what He's saying, listen, before you throw that, remember, He's the one that made Christ sin for us. Before you throw out that whole idea. Do you think that cross was a hard time for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you think going to the cross was an inconvenience to Him? I'd say more than an inconvenience, wouldn't you? Can we not inconvenience ourselves? Can we not get out? See, in fact, the fact of the matter is if we have a heart for God, we have a heart for the things He has a heart for. And we won't care about what we feel and what we think. We'll still do what He wants us to do. That's the faith part. You know, Lord, I want you to know, I'm telling you this for myself. There are situations that I find uncomfortable when I'm witnessing to people. But, you know, I have never felt wrong or bad about witnessing, even if the witness went south. If the witness goes south, I'm left with this. Lord, at least somebody told them. Lord, at least somebody cared enough to get outside of themselves and be concerned for the lost and love the lost like You do.
Amen.
Because if God didn't love the lost, you and I would not be here today.
Amen.
But the reason why we're here today is because of the love of God, and somebody told you about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only reason why we're here. Last thought. Receive not the grace of God in vain. And that word vain is kenos, which means empty, devoid of truth. Receive not the grace of God in vain or devoid of truth. That kind of grace is worthless. Oh, I got the grace of God. What's it doing? If we have the grace of God, is it devoid of truth? This is the truth. I dare say this is probably one of the foundational truths that God is concerned about with His people walking in, being a witness to others. So what He's commissioned the church to do. Verse 1 of chapter 6. We then as workers together with Him. Who's that? With Christ. Beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For nothing. Devoid of truth. So this is what true salvation looks like. Verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Remember when you got saved? That's what he's saying. Boy, when you heard it, you were ready. When I opened up your heart, opened up your mind, man, you took that gift. Now I want you to give the gift to others. Now I want you to walk in such a way that honors the Lord, shows your trust in Christ. Listen, question. Could God the Father have stopped the crucifixion if he wanted to?
Yes.
Why didn't he do it? Love for us? Do you know when we deny ourselves, do you know what we're saying? I love you, God. I trust you, Lord. When we don't deny, especially when we don't deny ourselves, and when we contradict the Word of God, do you know what we're saying? I don't love you, God. I'm acting like I don't even know who you are. Peter said it. I don't even know him. Wow. Talk about denial. Let's not us walk in the same denial. So he says this. Verse 3, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, what God has called us to. But in all things, how many things?
All
things. It's important. Listen, it's the word of God. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, listen to this, in much patience, I trust you, Lord. Did Joseph do that? Did Daniel do that? In afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. Do you remember when they got together? The governors did, and they said, we've got to find something against his God. No prayer to anybody but the king. When Daniel found that out, you know what? He got all kinds of people together, and he went around saying, do you think that's right? That's not right. They ought not to do that. Who do they think they are? Don't they know who I am? Is that what he did? He didn't say a word to anybody, opened up the doors, and followed the Lord. Talk about distress. How would you feel if you got pitched into a lion's den? For the cause of Christ. And did Daniel say, why me, God? Is that what he said? No. But it was a testimony and a witness to the king, wasn't it? Because he was concerned about him. So again, verse 4, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. Verse 5, in stripes. In imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, and fastings. Man, aren't you glad? We're not even suffering for the Lord like that. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the what? What? By love unfeigned. By the word of truth. By the power of God. By the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, fully equipped. By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report. As deceivers, you'll be called a deceiver. Hey, listen, they're going to steal the body of, we know that deceiver, he got his disciples, they're going to steal the body of Jesus away. As deceivers and yet what? True. As unknown and yet well known. As dying and behold we live. As chastened and not killed. As sorrowful yet always rejoicing. As poor and yet making many rich. As having nothing and yet possessing all things. Praise God. How are you going to get that? That's what true salvation looks like. How are you going to get it? You're a safe child of God. How are you going to get all that? That's it. It's the only way to get it.
Amen.
You're never going to work and get it. You can go to conventions. You can go to all kinds of scriptural meetings, and you'll never get it there. It's you and God alone, and you have to know to want it, and that's by the Word of God. And you need to know, and we need to know that God's the only one that can give it. You and I will not be constrained in our own power. You and I will not be held together in the love of God because of our willpower. It's not a diet in Jesus' name. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. You and I are accountable for the Word of God in our lives. That's the truth. Amen. You can get mad at me all you want to. I hope you don't. I hope that's not the case. But I know the scriptures, I know the truth offends people, but typically it's because they're lost or full of self. And they want their will, lost or saved, and not God's. And there needs to be a reckoning made with the Lord and saying, you know what, Lord, I'm wrong. I've had to do it. God's been patient with me. And I still want to be patient. You know, I don't need patience. I don't need long suffering. I need Jesus because I don't know what I need. Amen. I don't know what I need. Mm-hmm. Today might be patience. Next day might be suffering for the Lord. Did you see all those things that he said? Mm-hmm. I might be imprisoned. That possibly could be. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, things kind of change fast around here in our society. All of a sudden, we were free, happy-go-lucky. The next thing, we're locked down. So things can change abruptly. We take for granted that, oh, everything's going to stay just the way it is. Really? I don't believe that for a minute. How about you? I know one change is coming pretty fast, and that's our appearing before the Lord. And I want to be found faithful by His grace, not mine. Determination, willpower, whatever, your commitment. Throw all that stuff out the door, Lord. Because if it's not you, I won't stand. If it's not you, I can't love. I know my love. Do you know yours? My love is limited. My love is limited. If I don't have the love of God, I'll be out there yelling at everybody in the car like everybody else is, kind of like a crazy person out there. You ever see people just hollering at each other and getting all upset? And I stop and say, thank you, God, because by the grace of God, I would do the same thing. Amen. Somebody cut me off, I might want to cut them back off, right? Go in front of them and do something dumb. And that would be dumb. You know why it would be dumb? Because it would be the flesh and not the spirit. We do a lot of dumb things in the flesh. You know, I've become afraid of the flesh. I've become afraid of the flesh. I would rather do nothing and say nothing and let people think what they may and trust the Lord. Will you be falsely accused to do when you do that? Oh yeah. Will you be rejected? Oh yeah. David said, one of my own that I went to the house of God with has turned his heel against me. Am I any different than any other child of God? Are you any different? If we live for Christ, mark it down, we're going to suffer persecution. Amen. But I'd rather suffer persecution for the glory of God than have the favor of man and lose the favor of God. Amen. So this morning, does the love of Christ constrain or hold us together? Are we adhering to the Word of God? Are we hungering and thirsting for Him and His righteousness? That's an answer you can only give to yourself. But here's what God says. Ready? Come. Come and see. Come and taste for yourself the bread and the food that I eat of that the world has no idea about. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, bless your word this morning in our hearts and minds. Lord, may we be found faithful when we see you face to face. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.